This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
That is fantastic. Terrific work. So no weaknesses at all, huh?
No. No.
You hesitated there. Is there something I should know?
No, it's virtually indestructible, like 99.99%.
Okay. Wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask what's the 0.01.
Well, I mean, there's this little hole. It was kind of an aesthetic choice by the architect. And if you shoot a laser into this hole, the station blows up.
And now, two guys who run the ultimate station in the universe, it's Mos Eisley Radio!
Hello everyone and welcome back to Mos Eisley Radio, episode 10. What's today? It's like middle of November?
Frickin', it's something like that.
Frickin' middle of November. I'm 22 now, since we last recorded. That's fun, I suppose. I don't feel any older.
Well, happy late birthday.
Yeah,
I left you a half-eaten cookie cake.
Yeah, dude, you didn't even eat half of it. You ate half a piece. And then I went back and had a piece the next day, and that was the most overly sweet, disgusting thing I have ever tasted.
Did you eat it all?
No, God, no. I ate less than half a piece and threw it away. I was sick the rest of the day.
I know. There was way too much icing on that cookie cake.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. So, you know, before we get into the show, I want to say, I want to throw a huge shout out to no one who probably listens to this show, but big shout out to the IU Gaming Club. Zach and I went to this LAN the other day. It was actually kind of like a birthday-ish thing that just happened to line up. We had a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it was actually LAN War 17, and they had guys from S2 Gaming there, which are the creators of Heroes of New Earth.
Yeah.
And we participated in a 5v5.
I don't know
tournament.
If participated is the right word. Maybe got totally demolished
got
is the right
word. Yeah, pretty much.
We got slaughtered, but it was a lot of fun.
There was a lot of Bohica involved.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, if any of you people who have any interest in those types of things, seriously take a chance and go to like a big LAN convention.
Oh,
con
it's
sometime.
So much fun.
There's so much fun.
Next time, I think I'm actually going to just bite the bullet and bring my whole PC. Just
I think you should.
I had my laptop there because it was convenient. And
yeah.
Let's face it, I bought that laptop for conveniency. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've never used it for anything but sitting on my couch. So I'm like, I'm going to actually use it for something. And then I got there and I was like, man, I wish I would have just brought my whole PC.
Feel a little inadequate.
There was a guy at this LAN that had like a gigantic 1980s boombox mm-hmm. that had ripped all the guts out in it and then like built a PC out of that. And then where the speakers were had gigantic neon fans.
Yeah, like these huge 240 millimeter fans that like changed colors. And
yeah.
He had all these light bars that he put in like a separate monitor inside where the tape deck was.
And he had like a 30-inch monitor and he took up the whole table himself.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty
That's what I want to game with, though.
Yeah, it was good times. I want a sweet mouse pad that I'm using right now. I've never had like a really, really big mouse pad. So this is the first time I've had one that's been
And I both won door prizes. Thanks to Logitech for the new webcam, which I haven't installed yet. But hey, if we ever start streaming this show live, it'll be perfect for that.
Yeah, yeah, you finally got a camera.
More listeners for that, though. But
yeah, cool. Well, should we get into it?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
I'm Zach, by the way.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we never introduced ourselves. Whatever.
This just in. Terrace is under attack by a Sith fleet.
The Sith Empire is now a serious threat for Ace.
As the war presses on, the Mandalorian blockade stands.
Citizens and dignitaries are urged to seek shelter as the planetary bombardment continues.
News from the Galactic Republic.
Somehow we made it 5 minutes through the show and I didn't play music and Zoom was open the whole time.
Oh, geez. That's a miracle. That never
I
happens.
I know. It's shut. Everyone, don't panic. Cancel Red Alert. We're good.
So I've been waiting so long to be able to talk with you about this. The big news of the week of the past 2 weeks, of course, is that the Imperial Agent has been announced as the third Sith Empire class.
Yeah, this was crazy. It came out kind of unexpectedly, and it's one of those things we've been sitting on for like a week, and we've just been dying to talk about it, and we just haven't had a chance to record, but this definitely kind of came out of left field, as they say in the sports world, and and I couldn't have been more excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm super stoked on it. So basically, EA was going through Europe doing some press events, and Zach and I still haven't decided if this was an on purpose or an accidental thing. I think it was on purpose. He thinks it was accidental.
No, I don't. I'm not saying I think EA did it on purpose, but
well,
I, just,
yeah.
I think they weren't thinking when they did it and didn't realize that it was unannounced yet or not confirmed.
Right. Right. I'm of the impression it was like planned ahead of time by BioWare and everybody. But no matter what happened, you know, they're at a press event and they said, hey, this is the next class that's going to be in the Old Republic. And so we get the Sith Empire. It was picked up first by
the Sith agent.
Huh?
You said the Sith Empire.
Did I really? God,
yes.
My brain is just not
the Imperial
what
agent
used to be. Imperial it's agent.
Not even Sith.
Thank Nothing. You. Anyways, so it was picked up first by Now Gamer, and then Darth Vader picked it up, and then it kind of exploded, and then Sean Dahlberg came along and made an official forum post,
and that was pretty much when everyone knew that this supposed rumor was like legit at that point.
Yeah,
even
I mean,
though
this
the screens looked really good.
Absolutely. I mean, this has been like being passed around and talked about for quite some time at this point. You know, it was on the tip of the tongue from everybody as the next class that we were all expecting.
This was actually, they brought out the Holonet information on this past Friday, didn't they?
Yes.
I thought so. So we got some Holonet information on this, and basically the breakdown of it is this. You're going to be playing as Imperial Agent, which they compare to as Grand Moff Tarkin. I don't understand where they're going with that. I kind of think that's a bit of a stretch.
Here's the thing from that, though. That's they're you know, since they've basically run out of iconic roles at this point, they're kind of combining them. So when they say that it's going to be a combination of Grand Moff Tarkin and you know, maybe some other like combat oriented characters in the universe, they're saying that the story that you're going to be involved in is a story relating to what Tarkin would have been involved in.
Yeah, I can picture that, because the storyline, from what I can tell with the Imperial Agent, is going to be a lot of you're like this elite hardcore agent.
Yeah,
I think they call it like a cipher. That's like the code name for the best of the best of these agents. And basically, you're just going to be you're going to be sent into places and missions, and you have to go undercover and things like that, to where you have to take out targets, obtain information, and, you know, participate in espionage, spy on people, all that kind of stuff. And it's supposed to be like the most hardcore undercover, probably James Bond like type of missions that you can think of.
Right.
And it's going to be a really fun character to play.
I'm really looking forward to it. So the big thing that everyone's noticing, of course, is this is the first hint at invisibility in the Old Republic. The Imperial Agent uses a invisibility belt that allows him to go stealth around places and stuff like that. And then his
Which
other kind of
something that was in KOTOR.
Yes, this is true. I mean, this is our
this
first,
is first time.
Like
a class might have something like that in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is also our second class that uses cover as a big part of their gameplay. And of course, as with the Jedi Knight that we talked about last week, first thing anyone should do is head over to the Holonet and check out all the videos and pictures and stuff like that. So something that I think is really cool about it from the combat perspective of this class is he's all about the planning ahead of time. So he's got these series of darts that he can send out on people that will, like, for example, there's one that you send out and it starts like dotting or damage over time, starts doing damage over time. And then once the person reaches 50% health, then they kind of realize that they're taking damage. And then all
there's
this
another
kinda,
that's like a stun type dart, which also confirms, yet again, all the classes that they have announced have some sort of crowd control stun type ability, which I'm pretty sure everything will at this point. I can't imagine them doing six and the last two not having anything. But one thing that we did talk about, and I specifically mentioned probably three or four episodes back, although I was only about 80% on this because I thought this was going to end up with the trooper, but the Imperial agent gets orbital bombardment.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Like, if you watch the video, it's super cool. One of those total moments where you're like, yeah, I just did that. I'm that cool kind of thing. You get into cover, you call in like a laser precision bombardment, and basically it just rains different types of ammunition on top of people. The interesting thing to note about that is, how will that work when you're indoors? Which I don't see.
I picture this being kind of like AOE, like the druid snare ability.
Yeah, I don't think of it like that. I think this is more like an AOE that only you can only use if you're outside.
Yeah, basically, like Blizzard or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a mechanic that people are probably used to, at least fairly used to at this point.
Yeah.
So that should come as no surprise.
One thing that stuck out, speaking of mechanics, is the fact that you can create your own cover as an Imperial agent.
Yeah.
So there's this ability where you can drop a shield down. It's like got these two little hover droids that create a shield, and then you can just instantly, you've got your own cover you can hide behind right there.
Yeah, so like, it's super cool.
We don't know if his abilities are all going to be cover dependent or not. I mean, when we watched the demo for the smuggler, as you recall, there were certain abilities that appeared to come into play when you were in cover and certain abilities that you could use when you weren't in cover. So if that's the case, to have the ability or the option to drop your own spot to put your character in cover to access those abilities anywhere you want, it's huge.
Like, yeah, that is
adds a lot of versatility to the character.
I mean, I know that they've spent a whole lot of time on level development, you know, like incorporating places that classes can find cover. But I mean, the ability to create your own and then open up access to all of those specific abilities is pretty cool, and definitely was not something I was expecting as a part of gameplay.
Well, the thing that's nice about it too is like, it would be nice to have something like this with a smuggler, but it doesn't make sense. But when you see this Imperial agent, I keep wanting to call it the Sith agent, the Imperial agent, when you see it, activate these two droids, bam, cover the force field's established. It's like, yeah, that's totally legit. I could see this guy doing that because he's the type of character that you feel like would have the latest, the most cutting edge technology in the universe.
Right.
Like an example of that is this laser force field he's got. It's pretty much like he activates this thing on his belt, which puts this grid around him, which pretty much blocks laser fire and stuff like that. It's just it's a fancy way of saying he's got a shield. But I mean, aside from that, it's just the way they can present this stuff. They can really go out of their, they can really, you know, go out there and do something that's new, something creative, something that's different with this guy. And it looks flashy on top of that. So
yeah,
definitely unique.
Yeah, some of the other cool things that I noticed, and God, supremely jealous of Darth Vader. They got invited out with a small team of people to see a live demo of the Imperial agent, and amongst all the darts and stuff like that, there's an ability that the Imperial agent has called Shiv. Which is basically where they pull out like a little vibro blade and like stick it in somebody. And I assume it's kind of like a finishing move. But I guess from what they saw, it actually stays in the target once you've killed it. So like you can shiv somebody, run away, come back, and it'll still have this little vibro blade sticking out of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's just like a little thing. But, you know, that's just, you know, that little extra step that makes games really, really special.
On a side note, just want to say props and congrats to the Darth Vader guys for getting to go out there. And also, on an additional side note, I think we have some BioWare guys that listen to this every now and then. And
we'd love to
go out there too. I don't do anything on Saturdays. I watch a lot of football. the 49ers are sucking this year, so my Sundays are pretty free too. So, yeah, you know,
yeah, and
just saying.
I think one of the last things we didn't mention yet was that the Imperial Agent looks like it primarily uses kind of long range rifles / sniper rifles.
Yeah.
And the designs that they have up look a whole lot like Borderlands rifles.
Oh, I know.
Which totally. Is pretty cool. I love the designs that they had in there. Like this third one down with the wood design is a really cool touch.
You know, something interesting about the Imperial Agent that I was thinking about in terms of the story, I kind of wonder if you're going to be this character to where you're just like, your purpose or like your ultimate goal would be to impress some really powerful Sith Lord. So it's kind of like, I'm not a Sith. So like the tone of this, of the agent, I guess you would say, is like, I'm not a Sith. So I want to like impress the Sith like that I serve basically to the best of my ability. So it's this super hardcore guy that's basically doing everything he can just to look good in the eyes of the Sith.
That's not actually where the story is coming from. As Daniel Erickson made a post, because people were really confused about, they referenced Tarkin as a huge influence for the story. So the official word from Daniel Erickson is that there's nothing Tarkin about the Imperial Agent's combat package, but from a story perspective, the agent is our chance to see the Empire from a non-Sith perspective. At the end of the day, the Imperial Agent is a military officer dedicated to protecting his people from threats, foreign and domestic, and often called upon to set his own prejudices aside to follow orders that he may or may not understand in order to maintain Sith control.
That's kind of interesting. So I wonder if you're going to come across missions or things that you have to do something, and you'll see a lot of conflict with your character. Like, I don't want to kill these people, but I have to because somebody above me thinks it's good.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
And I imagine there will be a lot of, you know, like Sith warriors and Sith lords and stuff like that coming up and telling you to do things, and you're just like, oh, fine. I'm dedicated to my job.
Okay, I'm taking a whole 180 of what I just thought of a second ago. But that's also a good way to approach a potential story. Just a guy that's in the Empire, he wants to serve the Empire, but he doesn't necessarily like the people that are above him. These Siths that are powerful and they look down on everyone. And
yeah, and I mean, you know, Tarkin didn't necessarily have the or didn't completely respect Darth Vader. So I think that relationship can kind of be transferred to the Imperial Agent and his relationship with some of the Sith Lords.
I kind of want to go watch episode 4 now and take a real hard look at Tarkin the whole time, because that's gotta be what they're looking at.
Oh, like you, well, yeah,
just said they were. So they're basically, I imagine if you watch episode 4, just watch the way Tarkin reacts and deals with stuff, and I guarantee you that's what they're looking at when they're thinking about the storyline for this Imperial Agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, hands down, this is the first Sith Empire class that I'm rolling, without a doubt.
Really?
I know we still have the fourth class to be revealed, but I'm super stoked on this class because it's kind of like stuff that you would see in another game, but it's set in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And in that respect, it's like accessible for me. You know, it's not like I have a creative mind, but you know, like I don't necessarily totally get into, you know, like, oh, I'm a Sith, I'm running around and I'm doing this stuff, you know, but I can see myself, you know, hanging back, planning, and, you know, like throwing some darts and then like killing some guy, you know.
Well, the thing you think about when you think of the Imperial Agent is kind of like the Black Ops special forces type.
Oh, totally.
Persona. And so like that was the first thing I thought of when I saw, especially the picture. It's got the Imperial Agent where he's got his headset on and he's got his like hand up to his ears and it looks like he's talking to someone, relaying information. And you kind of picture them as the guys in Call of Duty or something like that when you're playing, that just drop in, take out the target and get out before anyone realizes that. Right. And that's so cool. That's such a cool feeling, like if they can capture that. So like if that is the way that the Imperial Agent works, I'm totally on board for that. Whereas at first my kind of gut reaction was, I wonder if they do make this, and this is when we were speculating on this class a couple weeks ago. I was kind of wondering if they do make this, is this going to kind of go hand in hand with the Trooper? But in fact, I feel like the Trooper is going to be more of a guy that just needs men into combat and has to do a lot of just like upfront physical confrontation with people and stuff like that. Whereas this is more the stealthy kind of get in, get out kind of thing. And I don't think this is going to be anything like the Trooper class in terms of the story.
Yeah.
Looking at.
Well, I think, you know, like we've been able to kind of match up on either side, which class is most similar to the other. And obviously we have the Jedi and the Sith warrior. And I think the Trooper obviously most lines up with the bounty hunter in terms of combat play.
Mm-hmm.
And then this obviously lines up with the smuggler, but I think what they've done a fantastic job with
separating stories.
Separating stories from combat. And, you know, they've talked about their four pillars for a long time. And I think they really are dedicated to separating out each part and making each part truly unique and interesting, and then bringing them together for the entire experience and linking it all together. And, you know, I talk frequently about how I'm concerned that they're not going to be able to bring everything together. I think this is their approach, and seeing how they've done the Imperial Agent, I think that kind of brings it in to,
you know, the interesting thing when talking about stories with all of this, is I'm playing Dragon Age right now, and I started off initially playing as first off, it's a fantastic game, and BioWare just did a great job with this. But just the storytelling in Dragon Age is just, so far, it's ridiculous. It's so good, and it's completely grabbed me and caught me and just pulled me in. Well, I started initially playing as a human noble, and I was playing as a warrior. And I'm a two-handed weapon wielding warrior. And I got through the main, the initial starting story. And I was like, I want to try a dwarf out too, but I want to play this warrior class still. Mm-hmm. So I went back and I did everything the same mechanically. Okay. The only difference is the story.
Right.
And the story is so completely different from the dwarf noble class versus the human noble class. I completely forgot I was playing the same character.
Really?
Like mechanically. Like, it didn't even matter to me. I was just, the story is what I was playing for. That was, mm-hmm. They did such a fantastic job of just pulling you in. And so that really, like, when you look at this, and you think, oh, they're the same mechanics, like the smuggler and the infiltrator. Like, are you really going to enjoy playing those two classes if they're kind of the same play style? To me, that's almost not even an issue because, you know, what really matters is the story, and is it compelling, and does it really grab you and keep you just going, I want to keep pushing on, I want to do this, or I want to like establish this kind of relationship with this character or something like that.
Yeah.
And it really surprises me just to see how well they can do that. You know, like I said, playing I'm pretty much playing the same class multiple times. It's just from a different point of view in a different setting and with a different plot. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think about it. Like, it's not even boring to me. Whereas when you think of other games like World of Warcraft, the story is the same regardless, and the differences are in the mechanics itself. So it's not that tends to become a lot more boring to me, I think, than going at it from BioWare's approach.
Right. And BioWare have proven as a company, you know, by themselves early on with Baldur's Gate, and now it's a part of EA. You know, I think the fact that being a part of EA and the fact that they can still deliver that level of story and engagement when you're playing literally the same class, just coming from a different, completely different perspective. I think the fact that they can still deliver that is a testament to the teams that are involved, and is really encouraging for those of us who are following the Old Republic and, you know, really ready to get engaged in that world and what's going on there.
Well, speaking of storytelling, and older news that we need to go on and just brush out of the way, but
yeah,
is 2 weeks ago, this kind of got overshadowed just because this was the same day all the Imperial Agent kind of news just came into light. BioWare released an article on their website talking about the Jedi Knight story and the storyline, and it was written from the lead writer for the Jedi Knight story, which is Drew Carpishan. I think I'm pronouncing
it right. Carpishan. Yeah, I'll buy that.
Okay. And basically, you know, I read through this and he's talking about, we all know what a Jedi is. Like, it's about preserving peace, protecting peace, protecting people, doing what's right, all that kind of stuff. They're pretty much these saber wielding super BA kind of fighters, you know, but it's like, we all know that. That's not like where the real issue or the what people want to do when they're a Jedi. The thing is, and where the real meat of the Jedi is what it's like to be one.
Right.
And when he goes into more detail with this, basically saying you're told you can't do this and you can't have these attachments and you got to disconnect from these emotions and things like that. But just because you're practicing that stuff doesn't mean you aren't faced with those temptations every day.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it like to get through a day or a week or a year or your life as a Jedi when these temptations are getting thrown at you left and right? And basically, it sounds like the approach they're going to have for the Jedi Knight storyline is kind of like you're going to get thrown into situations where you're going to have to deal with these attachments. Like one thing it talks about is falling in love, which I would not be surprised to see if there is some sort of love story connected with the Jedi Knight.
And oh, like, I have how to imagine there will be.
And like, what is the struggle of it going to be? And how will you as a Jedi Knight respond to that? Are you going to be the type of person that is kind of defiant towards the Jedi Council and what the rules are? Or are you going to kind of like do what you're supposed to do and just turn all of that stuff off? And another example they give is if you have the option to kill an enemy that surrenders, that's like a ruthless, cold-blooded killer who's better off dead, do you do that? Or do you let him go regardless of the fact that you probably should kill him, even though that's not the Jedi way to do it? Or on the flip side of that, if somebody offers you power to spare their life, would you take it? And, you know, that those kind of choices and that kind of storytelling is going to be – it's going to be – the type of thing that's just going to, I feel like, really suck me in. Like,
oh, yeah,
I want to play, and I've talked about I wanted to play the Jedi, but the fact that you're going to get thrown into all of these moral decisions and I believe this, but I'm being told to try this, you know, which path do I want to go kind of thing. It's going to be a real struggle. And I think it's going to that, you know, people going in with that mindset that appreciate that are going to really enjoy the Jedi Knight class and the storyline of the Jedi Knight class.
Yeah. I think this, it's great that we finally get to kind of explore a side to being a Jedi that we don't necessarily see in some of the films.
Well, we do.
I mean, they address like the love story and stuff like that in the episodes 1-3, but I mean, yeah.
They kind of just roll off of it. Like,
exactly.
The cartoons, it's kind of like Jedis aren't supposed to have attachment. And then, when I say cartoons, I mean Clone Wars. And it's right. This happens. And then someone's like, you shouldn't do that. You're a Jedi. And he's like, I know, but it's for the good. And then they do it. And then no one questions it.
Right. Yeah. And that's my point. It's either it's never been questioned or it's just kind of rolled off or presented poorly. So I think the fact that we get to see and play as a Jedi who's making these daily decisions that are pretty rough because you know you're a part of this group of people who have a very strong set of beliefs, and well, you know, some people might be led to just full bore go on with what the council has to say, and some people will be more inclined to make their own choices and use their own judgment. And I think the fact that BioWare has addressed that and allowed us to do that is what's going to make, the Jedi and the Sith stories so very unique. You know, a lot of people are worried about, how my Jedi is going to be different than this other person's Jedi. And I think this is a perfect example of one of those ways that you're just, you know, the decisions that you make are going to really affect your place in the world. So
it's one of those things where I feel like I can connect to it really well because I look at it and you look at it, it feels like it's something that it's like the story of a typical everyday person in a way. I mean, we all come across situations in life where we have the opportunity to do good, even though it might not be the easy thing to do, or we have the opportunity to help someone or we have the chance to get back at someone, even though it might create more harm later on down the road. And it kind of, as humans, I mean, we tend to make a lot of the wrong choices sometimes and things like that without getting into a lot of, I guess, like religious views or things like that. I mean, the Jedi is pretty much a religion in the sense of how it fits into this game. And it's going to be kind of, you're going to have that kind of mindset when playing it. And I really feel like I can connect to that because I see things that happen in life and it's like, man, I really wish I could help this person out, but I don't have the time to do it. But should I really sacrifice the time to do it? But if I make those kind of sacrifices in my life, then I'm going to have less of my own free time and things like that. And I kind of see a lot of that is what the typical life and the lifestyle of a Jedi. And it looks like they understand that and they're really going to drive that home in this storyline. So I don't know, the Jedi is pretty much bumped up to number one in what I'm wanting to play, and it has been since day one, and this is kind of like, you know, further nailing it into the wall for me that's what I want to play. But even then, maybe something can squeak in, and yeah, I don't know, we'll see. It's so hard, and I'm so fickle when it comes to these kind of things. It's like I want to play this one day, and then they show me something new the next day, and I'm like, I want to play that. Regardless, I know I will be a part of the Galactic Republic, and I will slaughter all the Sith that I come across, and I will dance on your dead body. So,
absolutely. And to wrap that up, I think one of the they directly reference the Jedi Code in the article. And I think it's cool that they've looked at it. You know, there's no emotion, there's peace, there's no ignorance, there's knowledge, no passion, serenity, chaos, harmony, death, force. And they've looked at that and said, okay, how can we turn this on its head and force you to make those decisions everywhere?
Are extremely hard decisions to make. Right. Making the right decision. And it reminds me of a TV spot for episode one, like years ago. And it was basically Liam Neeson talking about what it's like to be a Jedi. And he's like, it'll be a hard life, a life without luxury, a life without, you know, this, a life without pleasure or all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's for the greater good kind of thing. And it's like, are you capable of turning off the things in your life for the greater good for other people? Like, are you capable of saying no to something to help someone else out? And I think that is a really cool story.
Agreed. So I think we're both fantastically stoked on the Jedi and the Imperial Agent and this whole game, of course, because we're doing a podcast about it.
I'm only halfway stoked.
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about. maybe only halfway stoked. Speaking of, BioWare has
you say stoked or toked?
Yes. In more or less words, said that there's going to be no native support for those Mac users out there.
I mean,
I feel your pain. I'm primarily a Mac user. I've only just recently built a new desktop PC as my main machine. But for those of you who are Mac users who still would like a chance at getting into some of the game testing that they'll be doing, they are very aware of boot camp and loading in Vista or 7 or XP or whatever via boot camp. So for those of you who use that, I have in the past, that's still a viable option. Just know that there's not going to be any native support for OS X.
Do you not use Bootcamp now?
I don't need it because I have a desktop PC.
That's right.
And then,
you know, on a side note, to online petitions seem like a good idea, but unfortunately, they never work.
You know, I'm still.
I mean, I don't know how many petitions I signed for Modern Warfare 2 that I would not buy it, and I still haven't bought it until they make changes that aren't screwing the PC gamer over. And apparently Infinity Ward was just like,
before I forget, is I don't know if you know this or not. And I'm not going to give any deep plot things away, but this may sway you to actually purchase it. You know, the scene in the locker room and in the rock, or not the shower room, you know what I'm talking about? That is basically in the game.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, they did a pretty awesome homage. And
well, I have Call of Duty. My roommate has Call of Duty 2 or Modern Warfare 2 for the Xbox 360. So if I really wanted to play the story that badly, I could go do it. But it's kind of like a PC gamer. I want to represent PC gamers.
I know.
Even though I own a PS3 and I play it a lot, I'm a PC gamer first. So it's like, I hope.
Yeah. I mean, for anyone, I mean, I know this is an Old Republic podcast, but for anyone who's a fan of the franchise, having played it for the past week, I did buy it with basically no
traitor.
If you want to buy it and are worried about, you know, like the matchmaking system or something like that, it does work. It's just not the best solution. So if you just want to play it and have fun every once in a while, and you're not some hardcore person who needs a dedicated server to play with your clan, buy it. You'll be fine. You'll be happy because it is fun. And with that, I think we should move on to stories from the Outer Rim.
I heard a new ship from the Outer Rim just landed in Docking Bay 94. I wonder what kind of stories they have.
You have no idea.
Stories from the Outer Rim. So I was really, really stretching on some rumors because we've had so much news.
Well, everything we had that were rumors ended up turning into news. So
right. So I decided that I was going to go fish around on the forums, and I came across this post, and it's basically a group of people who are trying to make BioWare aware, that's hard to say, ahead of the time, before the game comes out, that you know, the group of gamers who are going to be playing this game are basically going to have no tolerance for bots or gold farmers or things like that. And for anyone who's played another MMO before this, obviously this is a huge problem in World of Warcraft and a number of other games. So I was looking through the dev tracker, And I saw a whole bunch of yellow come up about this topic, and I have a link to it in the show notes. But the gist of it is that BioWare is very, very much aware of the problem, and you know, are actively looking at ways to curtail that ahead of time. So I don't know, like, what's your feeling on the state of gold farming and bots and stuff like that in gaming at this point.
Okay. I might as well get all the skeletons out of the closet and go on record just saying I have purchased gold. I have bought accounts. I have used power leveling all in the past for World of Warcraft.
Thus why I wanted to get your opinion on this.
Well, the thing is that there was different reasons why I guess you'd say participate in each one of those activities. The gold one was mainly during a time before any of the expansions came out, when in order to become an in-game raider, you had to invest in a lot of consumables. Mm-hmm. You had to, the guilds that I were involved with, we had to provide our own gold for repairs. We had to do our own repairs. And it was extremely expensive to raid. And so basically there was a point in time where the only time I could play WoW was the times I was raiding. And I couldn't do anything in between like raid nights or raid periods to generate gold or to go on and get my own consumables and things like that. So for those of you that haven't played WoW, basically you would have to eat or drink potions or certain types of food or things like that. So that way your character would get buffed up and become more powerful. And you'd want to do these things when you were in a raid fighting a gigantic boss that would take the whole guild and all of this coordination to do. you need to have all those things, so that way it would improve your stats and you could fight them that much more easily. Well, the thing is you don't want to be dead weight in a guild, especially when there's at the time 40 people trying to work together to perform this one task. And it's like, I want to raid. This is the kind of stuff I want to do, but I just couldn't afford to do it in game. So, you know, there were several times where I was just like, I'm just going to buy gold this week because it's the easy thing to do. Yeah. And I had no issue with it. And I understand that some areas, there was a lot of guilds on the server that I played on at the time that everyone did it because in order to, there was no other way like that they could just push the content as fast as they were because people had to make repairs and people had to constantly buy these consumables and things like that. So at that point in time, there was really no other way to get around that other than not raid, which meant I couldn't participate in part of the game's content, or I could do it, but I had to pretty much pay for this gold to get there. And this is just a specific scenario. I know there's other reasons why people buy gold and things like that. And some of it is a little harmless. But anyways, I think Blizzard finally recognized that as being an issue, and they made it to where obtaining gold was super easy. So when you fast forward to when the Lich King came out, and you go and you perform your fights and things like that, you go through a raid and you clear it, not only do you generate tons of gold off boss kills, but they've implemented daily quests, ways that you can just easily go out and get gold every day. They pretty much just thrown tons of resources in the game to where if you are a gatherer, World of Warcraft is the only example of this that I can relate to. So that's why
it's obviously the biggest game with the most users and the most people buying.
It's going to be the biggest issue. Well, basically, Blizzard recognized where all the flaws were in the game. They gave you ways to where you could just go on, get money easily, and it wasn't that time consuming and it wasn't an issue. And after that point hit, I wasn't one to really go and buy gold ever again because there was no need to. It was just kind of a waste of money at that point. Now, power leveling is a whole different thing. And that goes back to me talking earlier about the whole storytelling method where you basically, when you played WoW, you did the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, but it was just doing it with a different class. So the play mechanics were different, but you did the same thing over again, which was what was boring. And so the thing was, is if you level your character up to the max level and you're at end game, then you're like, well, I want to do another character. And you start doing that. And I would hit a wall every time where I was like, this is not fun. This is the same thing that I've done already before. Yep. I just want to get to end game so I can play with this style of character in game. I don't want to have to go through all of this same progression and grind and repetitiveness. And really there wasn't little to no story in WoW, and it kills it. And I think, you know, just talking about the way that BioWare is approaching the storytelling between all the different classes and how they're really emphasizing a unique story with it really is going to tackle that issue of why a person with power level. I mean, you're going to be crazy to let someone else play your character because you're going to be missing
everything about it.
Yeah, you're going to be missing out the one important or the most important thing that BioWare is emphasizing with this game, and that is storytelling. So I think they're doing it. I mean, looking at why this stuff was created in the past, and basically it was created so people wouldn't have to go out and do repetitive things over and over and over and over again, and understanding the reason, you know, recognizing that's because of that, gold farmers were like, well, we'll do it for you if you pay us money. And they realize that and find ways to get around that. Then it won't be that big of an issue, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the interesting things that happened with World of Warcraft, and this was at least my perception of it, was early on in the game, if you wanted to buy gold, you know, there were services, and there have been a number of features on this and even a documentary of these gold farming groups in China and stuff like that would be led by people with gamers set up in dormitories playing WoW all day long to get gold. And you know, that was my impression of how it happened for the most part. But then I think as WoW got even bigger and bigger and bigger, and you know, like power leveling services and stuff like that took off, eventually the gold started to come from other sources like hacked accounts.
Yeah. I can relate to this. I've tried to sell a World of Warcraft account before, and I sold it to a guy and he paid me money through PayPal and everything looked completely legit. And come to find out that the guy was using a hacked PayPal account. So he was buying my account with someone else's money. And basically that person was paying for my account, where this Chinese person, I gave him all the information, then he was just going to turn around and try to sell for real money.
Right. And I think that's, I mean, now that it's gotten to that point, that's definitely one of the things that BioWare is trying to prevent. And WoW has, and Blizzard has done a fantastic job of stepping up their resources for getting rid of those things, you know, with the authenticator and stuff like that. But one of the things I found interesting from this post was one of the people who was participating in this kind of laid out some of their reasons for getting behind this. And, you know, they want to get rid of the spam in game, which is often attributed to trial accounts, which could be an interesting thing if they don't end up implementing a trial account like so many other MMO titles have had. Automated bots to camp spots, which can be really frustrating for regular gamers who need to get access to
sure everybody's dealt with something like that. You're trying to actually do something part of the game and they've got characters in game that are just sitting there taking everything, all the mobs or all the villains that you would need to fight to get the objects that you need to get. And then you can't do it just because they've got all of these bot characters that are just doing it. And it kills the fun level.
Yeah.
But so, I do want to go on and say, like, I have no issue personally with people paying for power levels and people wanting to sell their accounts that they put time into. I personally don't see anything wrong with that. I can understand why a company does not want to allow that to happen, because if there's some sort of negative fallout in that transaction, then it's going to blow back on the company. And then, you know, somebody's going to say, I sold this person, my account to this person, and then they canceled it. So I need my account back. And then that person's going to be like, no, I gave him the money. You can't. And then, you know, BioWare is going to get caught up in a web of stuff that's not even, that shouldn't be their responsibility. And they don't have the resources to basically legally fight everyone's battles and things like that. So I can understand why they don't allow this kind of stuff. But on that same note, you know, I've done it, even though it's not, you're not allowed to do it. I've sold accounts in WoW. I've bought accounts in WoW. And the reason why I've done that is because it's kind of like, I feel like I said, the repetitiveness was why I did it. I wanted a rogue class. I wasn't going to level up a rogue class. So, you know, I'll pay a guy X amount of dollars for his rogue that he's wanting to sell. And then I would trade him my account for his or things like that. And I take that risk upon myself. And I understand that going into that. So like, if I get screwed over, that's completely on me at that point. It's not on Blizzard or with the Taurus case, it wouldn't be on BioWare. Now I wouldn't encourage you doing that because it's gotten to where it's not, it's very dangerous to do in the sense of you're probably going to get ripped off nowadays doing it because there's so many people trying to steal accounts. It's not like how it was years ago when you could eBay an account and a lot of gold farmers didn't catch on or didn't start emphasizing these new techniques to steal accounts from people or steal people's PayPal accounts to buy money. But I mean, that being said, like, I'm not going to criticize a person if they desperately want something for this reason and they're going to pay it, you know, whatever. They're ruining it for themselves by bypassing the storyline in this. I think this is a completely apples to oranges comparison, comparing this game to World of Warcraft, because like I said, all this game is story driven. That's why you want to play it. Whereas World of Warcraft wasn't, I don't feel like. And so, I know it wasn't.
I mean, I agree with you pretty much for the most part, but I do feel like there's another side to this that we haven't really addressed. And that's the fallout on some of the other things that can come from these types of services. You know, obviously people's accounts getting hacked is a huge problem. It's mostly a convenience problem because most of that stuff can get reversed, but it's frustrating. And, if you use that password for a lot of other things, that can lead to a whole lot of problems.
Oh, yeah.
You and I, where maybe we would buy gold to use on consumables for raiding, other people would be buying gold to totally game the auction house.
Oh, I know.
And that causes huge problems in the in-game economy.
I remember times in certain games that I was playing where people had so much money, literally they controlled everything that took place on the auction house. And it was like, they would set the standards for everything. And like the corruption was so high with it. When Raid Night came, all the prices got jacked up 400% because specific people had so much money, they could buy everything out and take the loss and then put it back up for 4 or 5 times the amount and left people with no option but to pay those prices, which then drove up the cost of gold it caused inflation because then you needed more gold to do something, which then meant you had to play the game more, which then encouraged people to go out and buy more gold.
Right.
So it comes back to where it was a flaw in the game to where there wasn't an easy way to obtain gold in World of Warcraft, which encouraged people to find other ways to do it. If you go back and you figure out, or you look at that problem and you go, well, then we need to put systems in place that allow users to get gold easily to where that's not such a huge time sink in their life. So that way they can do all the stuff that they really want to be doing. You want to make them work a little bit for it, because if you don't work for something, then it's not near as enjoyable. It's not near as enjoyable as it would be if you put all the time into it. But at the same time, you don't want to take all the fun away, because not everyone has 15, 20 hours a week to spare or more in some cases, just so that a way they can do all the fun stuff that all the hardcore players get to do.
Right. Right. I think the thing to take away from this, and this was definitely presented in the forum post, was if you stop their spam, you stop their advertisement, less people find out about the websites, less people go to the websites, less people get hacked. If you stop the botting, you stop the in-game problems of people camping, you stop the money inflation. I think like you talked about with dailies and some of the other things that WoW has done, a lot of people might argue that WoW has become watered down at this point. But I think there's some definitely great things to take away from that would prevent the average gamer from not looking at some of these sites as an option for in-game currency or service.
Well, and now looking back, I'm totally against actual buying of gold and stuff like that for those reasons. Holy crap, what are you doing?
What's that?
Are you playing bongo drums or something?
Sorry,
over there?
I was typing and the microphone's right next to my keyboard.
I just want to clarify, I'm totally against gold buying and all of that at this point now. And as far as buying accounts and selling accounts and stuff like that, I have no real issue with that as long as that person realizes that that's totally on them.
Yeah, they're taking the risk.
And they're taking that and they're placing that in their own hands, and it's no one else's fault, and they shouldn't expect BioWare to clean up their mess if they pretty much just give it their account to anyone without doing any type of real background check on the person or just meeting them in person for in cash exchange or something like that.
Right.
So if you do that yourself, that's your responsibility. So if you get screwed over, and you got to keep in mind you're going to get screwed over more than likely, then that's on you. That's not on BioWare. So other than that, if you can live with that, I really have no beef with someone that wants to sell their account or buy an account.
Yeah.
Although in this game, I think it's going to be kind of dumb to do that.
Yeah. So bottom line, BioWare knows that this is a huge problem in the industry.
And they're looking at it.
They're addressing it. And, they really want to work for gamers, for the people who are going to be buying their game and paying to play it. To make it the best experience possible. And I think there's nothing more to say other than what we have. On that note, we didn't have a poll last week because the kind of the way the episodes worked out.
Yeah,
but I think we are going to put together one for the next episode, a little pre-episode poll. I don't have any ideas off the top of my head. If you guys have ideas for polls that you'd like to see on the website, without a doubt, email us.
Yeah.
We'd love any suggestions that y'all have for that. I don't know, Zach, if you had anything rolling around that you might want to hint on beforehand. But just wanted to remind everyone that we will be doing that on the website. We love to have people over there kind of interacting between shows. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, let's blow through these email questions. I know we're starting to run over.
Yeah, yeah. So Silver Raven, who's been a long time question asker, which we love, asked, how am I supposed to pick a class?
Easy.
Do it.
Get an 8-sided dice.
8-sided dice.
I think
yes.
They make those.
Get a D8, roll one, see what happens. No, seriously, just, you know, spend some time with the HoloNet. Look at some of the developer blogs where they're talking about, you know, where they're coming from with the story. And I think one of those will definitely speak up to you.
Yeah. Look at the story and look at what character you think you can relate to the most.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look at this so much as what class looks like it's going to be the most fun to play or what mechanics look like it's going to be the most fun to play. I would really look at it as, or try to look at it as, what character do you think you can relate to the most?
Yeah.
Not a Sith warrior.
Kind of going along with that question, we had Knight of the Light ask us, I've been having trouble deciding who I want to play in Tor, Jedi or Bounty Hunter. Bounty Hunter is cooler, but I hate being a bad guy, so I was wondering if I could be a Bounty Hunter but make good choices in the cutscenes. And we've talked about this before, and this is one of the things that BioWare is toting as a great aspect to their game, is you can play a Bounty Hunter, but not necessarily make, you know, what would be considered typically bad choices. You know, you can do positive things in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not as a bounty hunter, since it is your job to kill people. What was that?
Well, and having a bad guy or a bad side, in a way, is kind of, in theory, a relative term, because obviously Sith is like, whoa, we're the good guys. What are you talking about? The Galactic Republic is the bad guys.
Yeah. Well, like we were talking about earlier with the Imperial Agent, I think that's a perfect example of somebody who's on the quote-unquote bad side of things, but has, you know, as an officer and not a Sith, has every opportunity to make quote-unquote good choices. I think the mechanics are definitely built into the game to be able, you know, for you to go, hey, this kind of story and this combat looks really exciting to me, but, you know, I want to make my choices.
Just take Vader's advice. Well, actually, his order, no disintegrations. Just live by that code and you'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly. So Deknar asked us, what do you think will be the last two characters for the Old Republic? More Force users, droid engineer, et cetera, et cetera. I like droid engineer, and I think you've been having some discussions on Twitter about pet classes versus Force classes as the last two.
Actually, I'm not entirely sure, but I've heard a strong case for a caster class, which I said I doubt we're going to have any more Force users, but Immaculata, I think I pronounced that right, sent us a bunch of messages on Twitter saying basically we could see a Sith class that's basically driven around all the Force powers and not so much hand-to-hand fighting. And she basically was talking about, or made reference to the comic where we see a couple of Siths in one of the comics. One of them is more of a lightsaber, hands-on kind of guy, and the other's using Force lightning. And she also linked a couple of screenshots, which we could probably put in our show notes, showing where there's a party where one of the Sith is using Force lightning and it doesn't have a lightsaber on his belt. And then she sends us another link with a screenshot to where it looked like when you have a lightsaber on your belt and you're using, or when you have a lightsaber and you're casting ability without it on or in your hand, so it does show up on your side. So basically, it's the strongest case that I've seen for a possible Force caster type class. I honestly have no idea at this point, though, what's going to happen. So I kind of like the idea of having a maybe a pet class that you'd have like a droid or something, but I don't even know. It's just, I'm still going with my original idea, and that is you're going to have some type of Princess Leia iconic class, so you're going to have some type of political leader that's going to just give you tons of buffs. You'll be an okay fighter. It'll be a very support-driven class. And that's what I'm going with.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen suggestions. Ugh, I just spit everywhere. That was classy. I've seen suggestions all over the place, from a droid engineer, which I think is fantastic, to force users, which I'm not totally on board with, to anywhere to medics, people who are going to be hauling around a whole crap pile of meth?
Crystal meth?
Meth.
Power thirst?
Med packs. What? Excuse me.
So what are you doing when we finish?
I think they're possibly all viable options. And I'm really just at the point where I have no idea what BioWare is going to do next. And that's, to me, is really exciting, because not knowing what's coming around the bend and, you know, being totally gung-ho about this game is...
Are you sure you're excited, though?
I am positively excited. I say you're, that way too many times
I understand what you're saying. I wish I could talk.
I wish you could talk, too. That'd be great. So our last question comes from Lane, and he asked us, or she, God, I think it's he, though. Sorry. We've heard it time and time again, BioWare is taking the story very serious in this MMO. Each character class is supposed to have its own quests with zero repetition when you roll another. This sounds really amazing on paper, but can they actually pull it off, or did they set the bar too high for themselves? And I think he's coming at this question from the perspective of, you know, people who kind of just rush through the story and get to the end game, or you know, are just slowly PvP players or things like that. And, you know, BioWare has said from the very beginning that they're not catering this game to the hardest of hardcore. You know, those people rating WoW 6-7 nights a week. And I think I've said this before, that, you know, it is going to be up to the player for them to kind of pace out their own experience and to get into their character and what's going on. You know, each character class has a story that's longer in and of itself than the original KOTOR. And that game took me, I don't know, how many hours to get through. So yeah,
a couple of quick things. First off, I think a lot of people like to raid so much a week just because they do consider it part of their social life. And I mean that in a good way. Like,
I'm not even talking about that.
That's time spending with friends online. I mean, it's virtually spending time with friends. But I have a friend that raids all the time, and he probably puts in still consistently 40 hours a week in WoW. And he's just like, you know, it's like I would sit at home and watch TV, but that's boring. I mean, why not just get online with my friends and do stuff with them and hang out, and we can just go do this, mm-hmm. go raid this or whatever. And so I think the real issue here is, will they just have enough social activities once you're in game to where you can jump on and do that? Because really, that's the difference. That's really what it comes down to, is I feel like a lot of hardcore players don't do it so much. There's a really small percentage of people that play it just because they want to be the absolute best. But I feel like a lot of the hardcore players are people that just want to, this is their social life, and I don't mean that in a bad way. And,
oh, of course.
And you know, they want activities and they want things to do, and there's really not a lot of that other than raid or PvP. So I think this is a golden opportunity for BioWare to look at that and go, well, what kind of other social activities can we stick in this game? So once you are in game, you know, you can just jump on and do this with your friends or things like that. I think gambling is something they need to look at. We all want to play Pazok, but the other thing. Well, I want to comment on about his question is just go play Dragon Age. And
yeah,
no, I'm serious. And you'll get a good idea of what it's like to have all these different stories and to pretty much do the same thing and not even realize it. Like you're working towards the same goal, but you're coming from a different point of view. And because of that, you don't even realize you're doing the same thing over and over. And it kind of takes away a lot of the repetitiveness.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I had a hard time really understanding a lot of the story-driven stuff that they've been hammering about, you know, over the last few months until Dragon Age came out and I started playing it. And I'm just like, wow, you know. I think I played, like I was talking about, and by the way, I can't plug this game enough. It's a BioWare game. Just go try Dragon Age. It's great. I started playing as a Dwarf Noble, and I played it for an hour before I got into any combat, and it didn't even faze me. I was like, you know, any other game I would be bored at this point and kind of be like, where's the action at? But I didn't even notice it. And I was like, finally when I did notice it, I wasn't more of one of those, where's the action at? I was just kind of like, I can't believe that I haven't really fought anyone yet and I haven't cared, you know? Right. So,
right. I mean, I think there's definitely some validity to his question when he talks about rolling out content patches every 2 months. I mean, let's be honest. Even a single storyline is going to take you probably less than a month or 2 months to fully get through.
Yeah.
We have no idea what levels are like in this game, what the max level is yet. But they have talked about repeatable content as well, which we can assume to mean raid style content for the end game. And, you know, there is this overarching global story that's going on. And I think, you know, once they get to the point where people have kind of, you know, started maxing out their characters and stuff like that, you know, we'll start hearing rumblings of expansion packs. You know, that's just the way this kind of thing continues to live on. And, you know, the fact that they've got this global story going on will allow them to create a new patch with a new global story as well as new personal stories to go alongside.
Well, and the perfect thing, too, is they can come out with patches that could extend stories for classes and kind of like be one of those things where it's leaning towards something else happening and you really don't know why. And it kind of leaves a cliffhanger type moment to keep you wanting to come back or anticipating the next patch or either the next expansion kind of thing. I mean, I don't want them to completely just do that every time. Like everything we play just kind of cuts off at a cliffhanger spot. But that's something they could think about with the stories to just keep people excited about future releases. But yeah, I don't want to come across as I'm saying I don't want it to just you hit the max level and then you don't really have much to do. And then you just start over and play a new class. Because I do want to be able to just consistently log on my Jedi Knight and do things every day.
Yeah,
like socially.
I'm pretty confident you'll be able to in the long run. So yeah, we had a couple of comments, and I want to do a special shout out after that. Purple Cliff sent us a quick message on Twitter. It said, "Should I blast Jedi and the head or the legs? Those fools blinded by their peace and arrogance." I don't know. I'd go for the legs.
You can go for the, especially like their mechanical legs. It really won't faze them. We've got extra parts on their ships, so you know.
Yeah,
you don't have to be evil to be half robot. I mean, Vader came back to the good side.
This is true. So. This is true. I also want to give a huge shout out to two people who left us comments on reviews on iTunes. I think it's cool people take the time to head over there and actually leave us a review. So Odin's Eye and Justin Saiyan both left us 5-star reviews. Huge shout out to those guys. We really, really appreciate it.
And shout outs to everyone else that has done that prior to
of
this.
Of course.
That we haven't thanked. And of course.
Oh, no, we've had three. We just got a new one today.
Oh, wow.
So sorry. Hambone Hamlet as well was the other one I wanted to add.
Hungry.
Yeah, Hambone Hamlet. That's
I don't know why. This sounds like an omelet, but not.
Yeah.
It sounds like an omelet with lots of pork in it.
Uh-huh.
You know, various pork objects like bacon, sausage, ham.
Yeah, that reminds me. I took a trip to the Fort Knox.
I want an omelet right now. Huh? Oh, what?
No, that's where I'm going with
Fort Knox?
I took a trip to Fort Knox in high school. I was a Boy Scout. It's okay, everyone. If you're a Boy Scout, it's acceptable. And we went and we stayed in like barracks and ended up eating in the mess hall with a bunch of reservists, which was cool. But they had this huge black guy behind the counter making omelets in the morning. And he was the coolest omelet chef I have ever met in my entire life. Made a kick-ass omelet.
Man, omelets are fantastic. I wish I could just have an omelet right now with like some peppers and onions and bacon, sausage, lots of cheese. Some mushrooms, maybe, you know.
Yeah, dude. When I come home for Thanksgiving, I'm taking you to that one place. And we'll get some freaking omelets.
I'm so ready for that. We're going to have to go in the morning.
Oh, of course. Oh, where's my sound clipboard?
Need my button, Adam.
In the morning.
This has been fun. I've been really looking forward to talking about the Imperial Agent.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we finally got to. So again, huge thanks to everyone who listens and participates on Twitter and on the website and in the forums and stuff like that. As usual, Hit us up, mosseisleyradio.com. Check out the forums there.
I just want to throw something out. We've not had any MP3 questions yet, and I'd really appreciate maybe one or two MP3 questions.
Absolutely.
So just if somebody would like to for the next episode, just or it doesn't even have to be a question. It can be a comment. We'll play it. Guarantee it. As long as it doesn't have anything offensive in it, and as long as it's like, it's okay. Like, I mean, if you sound like you're dumb.
If you wouldn't want to play it for your mom, then we probably won't play it on the show. But otherwise.
And another side note, we've gotten a swarm of emails lately. And if we forgot someone's email or someone has asked us a question, please don't take it personally. We sometimes miss stuff. Things get placed in filters that, or they get placed in certain folders that shouldn't be placed and things like that. The filter system doesn't entirely work. Also, if you do send us an email, please do your best to send us something that's coherent.
That's not pointing fingers. That's just for our sake. You know,
It's sometimes we have in the past gotten a couple emails, and I'm just kind of like, I don't really understand what they're asking or commenting, and I want to say something back, and I don't want to say something back.
Right.
Just keep that in mind, and we'll be okay.
Yeah. So as always, huge thanks to everyone. Keep an eye out.
I'm coming to Tennessee this weekend.
Tennessee.
My first Tennessee Volunteers game in Knoxville. So shout out to all the Vols fans, anyone going to that game.
There's another episode we have to end with sports. Great.
Dude.
Keep an eye out for the next poll. We'll let you know when it goes up. And pass the episode on to a friend. We'll love you for it. Take care, everybody.
Stargate Universe. Watch it. Take it easy. Click some stuff. It's war.
I'm the click master.
Oh, wicka, 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 wicka.
I'm the click master. Master of the clicks. I record stuff and then I make it into things.
I need some death clock right now. Go.
You need death clock right now?
I don't have any.
Oh, God. I gotta queue it up. Queue it up.
I gotta find it.
Oh, can I do it?
Alright.
That makes my life better. Hello everyone and welcome back to talking is hard sometimes. Is what she said.
Oh gosh. I was about to say you're hard sometimes.
That would be inappropriate.
Awkward. Awkward.
King of awkward. Alright, here we go.
Don't touch me.